It's Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5 The Game tonight. We're getting the lowdown on the trade deadline with the king of the hockey rumors, Eklund from HockeyBuzz.com, going to join us. Also, we're going down on the farm, brought to you by Farmers Insurance and the Patrick J. Brown Agency. We're going to talk to Milwaukee head coach Carl Taylor. It's going to be a good one tonight. It's all tonight on Slapshot Radio, brought to you by day one sponsor, Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry, and of course, our good friends over at Farmers Insurance and the Patrick J. Brown Agency. I'm telling you, Patrick and Mary, they do a great job over there. Joining me, as always, former NHL player, former NHL coach, current all-around great guy, Brent Peterson. Brent, how are you today?
I like the third part of
that. You like the third one on that?
The third one of
I like that. That's good. And speaking of third, our co-host, third man in, as we like to say, Zach in his stylish Team PEX hat.
That's right. Nice Hockey hat. Fights Cancer Night on Saturday night in Smashville. Make sure you're coming and joining us. Certainly one of the most important and special nights of the year.
Absolutely. Looking forward to, always look forward to that one. As a matter of fact, a lot of the former ambassadors come back. I always look forward to seeing them, so it's always fun to get to tell their stories, especially when it ends up being such a positive one like a lot of the ones we get to tell. So here we are after boy, talk about a dickens of a weekend, the best of times, the worst of times. We'll leave. You know, what happened in Vegas is going to stay in Vegas.
It's there, all right. It's
okay, let's
back
just
there.
Leave it there.
Because, gee, it's still haunting me.
And I think, though, that the Predators actually took that attitude and came into Dallas last night. I think a solid performance. There were some things that you look for out of this Nashville Predators team that you finally saw. You saw some secondary scoring last night. You saw Dallas just completely key on the Jofa line, and you saw the rest of the team end up stepping up, not only to cover a not-so-great performance from Pekka-Rinne. It was serviceable, but not one of his better ones. But you saw the defense pick it up. You saw the offense pick it up. Much better performance last night. Nice bounce back from a really bad showing on Saturday night.
Yeah, they had a very poor night in Vegas, and they got out of there, and the coach got mad again, and he gave it to them, and they respond every time. Every time they have a poor performance, they seem to come up big, and they came up with a big game. I was really worried when Dallas got two in a row in 26 seconds, I think,
yes,
in the second period, and they went out 3-2. I said, oh, no, they're going to fold here. But our guys stuck with it, and they hung in there. Found a way to get to the third period, 3-3, and then they got the one goal and then the empty net goal. I really was worried about that two goals in 26 seconds.
After the two right together, Zach, I mean, the response you had to like.
The most impressive thing about that response last night is, one, it was the Predator resiliency of old that used to be such a hallmark of this team. And two, honestly, that was the coming out party for Roman Josi as the captain of this team. That was a leadership performance that you want from a captain. His captaincy has been one of kind of, you know, quiet confidence, not really necessarily putting the team on his back. Last night, the captain put the team on his back and truly was the captain of the Nashville Predators.
Well, what's so important about that is, if you're the coach, before the game, you circle Roman Josi's name and you say, you guys watch mm-hmm. him, you make him move the puck, you go take the body.
Yep.
So he's being checked by the best players in the league, mm-hmm. and they've talked about him all day. They've talked about the Jofa line, and those guys still produce every night. It's so good to see that they're going to be in the playoffs where they're going to be mm-hmm. under the microscope, and they're still going to have to produce as a team, those four guys.
So when you look at this, though, I mean, and I agree. I think that was one of Roman Josi's more dominant performances, and I think that we've seen him step up at times, but I agree with you. This was, come on, boys, let's get this going, and he was really more fired up than I've seen him. And the thing that I really liked about the performance last night was not necessarily that he was so fired up, but that he didn't try and do too much.
Right. It wasn't overplaying.
Exactly. I mean, I think we had a little bit of that going on in between the pipes, I think. A little bit going on for the couple of other players. But Roman Josi stayed within himself, played his game. And I think when you look back, you know, everyone points to, Pekka-Rinne in the playoffs last year. But I save a good big bucket of mud for the defense as well, because, again, they didn't really show up either. some of it was poor play, and some of it was trying to do too much, as it was in the case with Roman Josi last year. I think last night we really saw that step forward in leadership from him.
Yeah, he was terrific last night. He, like you said, he didn't try to beat guys one-on-one that were coming in on him. You can't beat players in the NHL one-on-one. You can move the puck and jump by them and get it back and do all those kind of things. He's got a great shot. He goes around the net so well and just sets up guys, and he just does a great job for the team. He was terrific all night long last night, and two goals. It was great, and it was good to see Ryan Ellis.
Exactly what I was going to say.
I'm not sure that it broke him out of it, but three assists got to make it feel good. Mm-hmm. He hasn't had a real great year. He looks like he's laboring at times, but he played great last night, and that's what they needed. They needed Ryan Ellis and Roman Josi to do the job for him, and they got some great effort from both of them.
Well, that defensive pairing has caught a lot of, frankly, fair flack this year for a lot of lackluster play, dating all the way back to last year's playoffs. And so to see that kind of game where both of them are just dominant on both ends of the ice defensively as well, it was very hard, it felt like, for Dallas to get a hold on them. A lot of times the Subban and Ekholm pairing gets a lot of the lauding, a lot of great accolades for them, and they are a great pair, but it was awesome to see Josi and Ellis be like, hey, you know, it's called a great top four for a reason.
No, I think that was I mentioned it in my blog. It was a nice rebound game for the Nashville Predators. And again, you're coming into the last 20 now, okay? The dog days are almost done. You get to
Monday at noon or Monday at 2 o'clock. The dog days will be done.
That's exactly right. Okay, who had 5 minutes in the pool to see how long it would take to mention the trade deadline? That is the 400-pound gorilla in the room. That's for sure. And you know, I'm going to tee this one up right now. I'm going to tee this one up because. Sometimes our co-host just gets a little crazy and gets a little hot take going. And I'm just going to say, Zach, give us your hot take as far as the trade deadline and an acquisition that all of a sudden you think maybe the Preds should make.
Okay, so I can't take full credit for this. Friend on Twitter, you can follow him at FDBort. He's a fun follow. Mentioned this, and it was crazy at first, but hear me out here. I think there's one name that the Predators could acquire that would be just the right amount of talent and the right amount of meanness that would actually help Winnipeg get through all of this. I think Corey Perry needs to be acquired by the Nashville Predators. And here's why. If you had a second line of Fiala, Turris, and Perry, all of a sudden you've neutralized a lot of that Jets' speed. You've neutralized a lot of that Jets' meanness. And you have a guy who can still put the puck on the net, who has not played a ton this year, who's fresh for the playoffs, and I think would just be the right mean SOB to be added to this team. He's the kind of guy that we hate because he's not on our team. And sometimes, if you can't beat him, join him.
If you can't beat him, trade for him. it's an interesting take, and we kind of talked about this in pre-show, and I think it's fascinating because Vince Gill would have to, you know, tear up his Corey Perry as a sissy t-shirt. but I think that when you look at this, it's an interesting proposition. Mm-hmm. But Coach, I think you kind of came up with one maybe a little bit better. From the same team, as we talk about maybe even, I mean, look, let's face it. This Ducks team is not, I'm going to say it and they'll end up getting back in there. I don't think they're going to end up getting into the playoffs. I think Randy Carlyle's damage is done. Bob Murray is looking at the future.
Too much to
and the Gibson injury, you got to give that. But Ryan Getzlaf would be a real interesting.
Well, I just flippantly said that when we was talking about Corey Perry.
I just have to go there. Why not?
If you can get the guy is Getzlaf to get. But Corey Perry is an interesting acquire, but I don't think he can skate anymore and keep up the speed. He's trying, but I don't think he's good enough anymore. And he'd cost him a lot of money.
Here's my question. Is this a speed team anymore?
Well, it needs to be because you're going to need to.
I haven't seen it all year.
You're right. That's exactly right. We're not as speedy as we need to be. Mm-hmm. But one guy, we had one guy, and he really adds a lot of. One man could really make you a fast team.
And he made. Well, and I look at last night's game as a perfect example because, look, you know, there's a difference between speed and hustle. And we saw a hustle play last night. and we saw a speed play last night that led to the first two Predator goals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you saw a hustle play out of Brian Boyle. When Jamie Benn, I'm sorry, you're the captain. You should be better than that. You whined for the call, and instead of getting up and getting back down the ice, you sat there and continued to complain to the referees, leaving Boyle free to go.
That's Ben and Sagan round and round, though. That's what they do. It's done for years.
I understand that. Doesn't make it right.
Yeah.
So you saw the hustle play right there, because I don't think anyone would call Brian Boyle a speedster.
No.
Okay. However, then you saw a speed play in Rocco Grimaldi.
Whew.
And I mean, stopped on a dime to get that puck past Khudobin. And I still think Khudobin's looking like, where the heck did that come from?
Yeah, just a fantastic play by both of those players, really. And that's the kind of depth contribution that you need, especially if you want to go far in the Stanley Cup playoffs. In that 2016 Cup run, it was those unlikely contributors, your Harry Zilnerchucks, your Cody McLeods, those last-minute hero goals. That's
Gaudreau's,
what makes
yep.
it. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Your Colton Sisson hat tricks.
Yep.
I mean, those sorts of things. Another player who looked great last night, too.
Exactly. So, you know, again, you know, which team do we see tomorrow? When the LA Kings come to town.
Well, everybody's picking us to clean house and or to win all three games, but we have played our worst hockey against those kind of teams that come in here. Who's coming in here? LA, Colorado, Edmonton, then we're going to St. Louis.
Yep. Yep.
We played our worst hockey against those teams, then we go to St. Louis and win a game. So we got to make sure we take care of this six
yep.
points, two at a time.
Yeah,
and get those games under our belt. You got to win these games. These are games that other teams have already won.
It's yep. time to shed that stigma of playing to your competition.
Exactly. Exactly.
And on that, it is time for us to go to a break. And I'm going to talk to you about our day one sponsor here on Slapshot Radio. That is Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. I'm telling you, Doctors Jane Bacon and Aileen Kruger, they do an amazing job. They have been a premier sponsor of Slapshot Radio since day one. Great staff. Comfortable environment, they make it a lot easier to get all your dental needs taken care of. And you know what? If that wasn't enough, they do offer all the latest in dental technology, including in-office whitening, even sedation dentistry. You know, you don't like the drilling, you don't like the work, they'll knock you out, get it all done, you wake up and your mouth's perfect. It's amazing stuff. Check out their website at WeBrightonSmiles.com or call for an appointment at 872-7762. That's 615-872-7762. Dr. Jane Bacon and Dr. Aileen Kruger at Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. We brighten smiles.
Yeah!
Slapshot Radio. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming on the Game Nashville app. Paul McCann, Brett Peterson, Zach McCann coming at you with Slapshot Radio. Yep, we got Eklund coming up in this segment. We able to get him on the phone there, Buck? You are the man. I don't care what anybody else says about you. So, you know, we're going to talk trade deadline right now. The rumors are flying all over the place, obviously. You know, the big names that are being bandied about, the Matt Duchesnes, the Mark Stones, you know, all of those running around the blogosphere, the rumor sphere, whatever you want to call it. This is a fascinating discussion right now because honestly, when you look at needs for teams, some of the players that are being mentioned for the Winnipeg Jets, for instance, don't really address their needs.
Well, they're short of, they don't want Little to be their second centerman, so they're going after somebody like Stastny, and they're going to go after Duchesne big time, but Who knows what's going to happen, because those guys, Stone would be our guy and Duchesne can go to that's who would fit in there well.
I'd love that, to be honest, Brett, to make sure we have here. So let's see what we can get. I know Eklund has been scouring the phones. He has been burning up cell minutes like crazy. He's got five different phones going at his ears and all this stuff. It's crazy right now. Eklund, welcome back to Slapshot Radio. How are you, my friend?
Thank you. It's wonderful to be back. And, I've been scouring the phones with a snow day here with all the kids at home.
That's right. I forgot about that up in your area. So you've had plenty of time to be able to ferret out what's going to happen here. What is the latest that you're hearing, especially when it comes to the Nashville Predators and their interests right now?
Yeah, well, they're in the middle of the domino waiting game right now, the Mark Stone game, essentially, which is supposed to come down some point tonight in terms of Stone's going to give a decision as to whether or not he's going to stay with Ottawa. If he does indeed sign an extension with Ottawa, that could slow things down a little bit, but not that much. I think if he says he's not going to go back to Ottawa, well, that'll speed things up pretty quickly. And from Stone, it goes on down. I keep hearing more that Stone's heading to Winnipeg, Duchesne heading to Nashville, but it's also possible that they don't go hog wild on that and go for Duchesne and instead head in a direction, you know, of a guy like, you know, Wayne Simmonds in Philly, which has been coming up a lot in the last couple hours here at least, and that would be a really interesting pickup for them too. I like him. I like Zuccarello also in Nashville. And there's no question that Poile's kind of sitting and waiting, and there's going to be an arms race out there between Winnipeg, Calgary, San Jose, and Nashville, I would believe.
We are on the line with Eklund from HockeyBuzz.com, the king of the hockey rumors. Coach, what do you got?
Do you think Calgary's going to be involved in, like he's just said, Calgary, and they haven't been very, very vocal or very upfront with what they're doing. They're sort of hiding in the weeds, and you think they'll go out and get somebody big?
I do. I mean, I keep hearing Eric Staal mentioned with them, and you know, that's an interesting one because, you know, and earlier tonight, the Wild showed their first sign of perhaps selling off a little bit. They moving Charlie Coyle out, which is a little surprising, but you know, Eric Staal is somebody that Calgary really likes, really would like to grab. They also are in on Mark Stone as well. I haven't heard them tied very much to Shane or Simmonds. But Calgary's going to be involved. They have a very good team, as you guys know. They're really solid, and they also could go and get a goalie. And I've also heard, you know, Calgary's not thrilled. I mean, obviously they've got Smith now back as their seemingly number one keeper. So that's something that San Jose and Calgary have in common that Winnipeg and Nashville have over top of them. You guys are contenders with definite starting goalies, and both those teams are a little uncertain right now.
Eklund, I was wondering, haven't heard much about Artemi Panarin lately. Is it looking like he might stay in Columbus, or do you see him moving?
It's really hard to say. I see him staying, I think, at the end of the day. But, you know, obviously Columbus, you know, the situation in Columbus is there's a team that's never won a playoff series. Mm-hmm. They've, you know, and now they're in a situation, they're in one of the better situations they've been in a long time. And the surprise in Columbus could be, I mean, a lot of people have said, okay, they move Panarin and then they go out and get Duchesne, and you know, and then that Duchesne fills in for Panarin. But what if they keep Panarin, you know, and get Duchesne, and just decide to go for it? Which I think is probably more likely, given their situation. You know, they're not going to get fair value for Panarin right now, in their opinions, versus you know, trying to actually do something. Because this is a team that last year in the playoffs, remember, was really close to beating the Capitals, and they're as good as they were then. Struggled lately, but I think once they get through this uncertainty of the trade deadline and see where they are, Columbus will be tough again.
Interesting piece when you start looking at this, and as I look over the rumor chart on HockeyBuzz.com, mm-hmm. Eck, it is interesting because you only have one Minnesota Wild player listed on the rumor chart right now, and obviously Coyle wasn't that one. Eric Staal is the only one. Paul Fenton, obviously, we know him pretty well here in Nashville. Yeah. I'm just wondering, is this getting close to time to blow it up and rebuild it?
I think that's what Paul Fenton wants to do there, and I think for good reason. I think they sort of have maxed out what they can do with that group. You know, and what they can do has been, you know, good enough to make the playoffs, but not good enough to really get very far in the playoffs. And it's, you know, and you guys know with Craig Leopold being their owner, you know what he's like, where he definitely wants to try to go for it and try to win. But at the end of the day, he will listen to his GM. He's not the kind of owner who gets in the way at all. So them making that move tonight is, you know, I'm definitely going to have to reexamine the rumors right now that Coyle's gone, because they really have now shown that they're in this thing. And in the past, you know, it's been Fletcher. And with Fletcher and Leopold, they have not tended to make moves until the deadline day. So the fact that they're getting out in front of this a little bit tonight tells me that, you know, there's more to come with them. This is definitely not their only move.
Yeah, something a little bit different going on as far as that goes. And let's face it, ever since Bruce Boudreau came out and said, I guarantee we're going to make the playoffs, they've lost every game. So, I mean, this is not... Yeah. This is not a team in a good situation. We are on the line with Eklund from HockeyBuzz.com on Slapshot Radio. Brent Peterson.
Hey, Eck, tell me what the asking price is. If Nashville got a Stone or Winnipeg got a Panarin or whoever, what is the price they're going to get back for those players?
Yeah, I mean, well, it's generally a first-round pick and a prospect at this point. Stone, a higher bid for sure. Most consider a better player. And Stone is a really solid. I mean, he makes anything really better. And a little more consistent than Duchesne. So, I keep hearing Stone's a first rounder and a good prospect. And you know, where Duchesne might be just a prospect, if the prospect's good enough. Like I keep hearing Tolvanen, obviously, is the name coming out of Nashville, which is obviously a great player. But if you're the Predators, maybe you look at can Duchesne take us over the top? And are you willing to do Tolvanen in a first round draft pick? It seems like Fabry is not on the table, at this point at least. It seems like they're definitely willing to hold on to him, even though he has struggled a little bit in college this year towards the end of the season. But it's definitely a first-round pick for Stone and probably for Duchesne at the end of the day, because you've had so many teams competing for him as well. The Islanders are definitely in on Duchesne as well. So, and like I said, the Blue Jackets. So you're looking at a first-round pick, which I don't think the Predators are too worried about giving up. But, it's whether – and where the Predators, I think, have an advantage is they've got a guy like Tolvanen who is very good but maybe worth it for a serious run in the Stanley Cup.
Interesting. That's one that, obviously we've watched that player for, a couple of years, ever since he was drafted. Seems like a couple of years. But, we've watched him for almost two seasons now, followed him in the KHL. Now, we're going to be talking to the head coach of the Milwaukee Admirals in our next segment. And obviously one of the questions we're going to ask is about his development. Zach, you have another question for Eck?
Yeah, Eklund. A player who's causing a lot of consternation in Nashville right now, a lot of gnashing of teeth, is Kevin Fiala. Have you heard his name dangled about at all?
I have, and he's very polarizing around the league, There's no two ways about that. I'm a huge Fiala fan. I've always been a huge Fiala fan. And there are teams that are interested in him. The Islanders are one that I can't hearing over and over again. But I don't know what the Islanders have to give back to Nashville, in that situation. When you look at the top six forwards that are out there, maybe, if they went for Simmons, maybe the Flyers would go for Fiala and something. That would probably help. The Flyers could use some speed for sure, Fiala is a tough one. Now, you guys see him all the time, so I'm sure you have different. For me, I tend to catch him when he's playing better than when he's better, and I keep thinking this guy is going to be putting up bigger points than he does, because whenever I see him, he seems to be outstanding.
it's funny. Because, Eck, you look at, and Zach will be the first one to say this one, you look at the underlying stats. You look at some of the fancy stats associated with Kevin Fiala, and you don't understand why he's not at 26, 27 goals already. It is fascinating. It is those, as we like to call it, those maddening flashes that you see that just you go, oh my God, that's the kind of player we're looking for. And
it reminds me of Simone Gagné in Philadelphia. With Simone Gagné in Philadelphia, one of the things where Fiala, it seems like he gets better and better, and then he'll get some sort of small injury, which takes him longer to recover from than you would think. And then even when he gets back in the lineup, doesn't have his thing, and then gets more and more confident, and then he gets hurt again. That's just one of those kind of cycles.
Well, I know you're going to be a very, very busy man over the next 4 or 5 hours. You can also make sure you tune into HockeyBuzz.com on trade deadline day. You guys going to be live almost the entire day, right?
Oh, yeah, we'll go on from 11 to 4. The whole cast of characters, it's always fun. We enjoy that day. And then Friday night, I'm also playing in the media game at the outdoor stadium series for the Flyers media versus the Penguins media. So I've been trying to get in shape for that, too. So that's dangerous.
Oh, this is going to be fun. I'm going to want to see I want to see this, too. Absolutely. Well, Eck, thanks so much. Hey, enjoy the outdoor game. Last year in D.C. It was a lot of fun. So enjoy. Enjoy that, and we'll be talking to you soon. And good luck this week. And hey, stock up on the caffeine, the Red Bull, the coffee, whatever to keep you up.
You know it. Drink a toast here. That's what you're
talking about. There
now,
you go. Apps. Drink a toast.
You
oh,
that,
my
right?
Heavens. I love it. Anyway, that's Eklund from HockeyBuzz.com. Eck, thanks so much for joining us.
See you later, guys. Thank
all righty. Hey, don't forget, you can follow us on Twitter. Find me at PredPAPaul. Find Zach at ZABRMC. Also, make sure to like the Slapshot Radio Facebook page. Keep up with all the happenings with the show on social media. And please, don't forget to check out my blog at HockeyBuzz.com. We'll be right back as we go down on the farm, brought to you by Farmers Insurance and the Patrick J. Brown Agency, right here on Slapshot Radio. Brought to you by Farmers Insurance and the Patrick J. Brown Agency, your farmer's agent in Mount Juliet. I'm telling you what, if you aren't getting your insurance through Patrick and his team, Patrick, Mary, the gang, they are just a dynamite group. You got to check them out. Patrick J. Brown Agency of Farmers Insurance. And as we go down on the farm, really happy to welcome back to Slapshot Radio the head coach of the Milwaukee Admirals, Carl Taylor. Carl, welcome back to Slapshot Radio. We're glad you could join us tonight.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me.
So, Carl, let's get right to it. February is not being very kind to Milwaukee right now. Tough road trip. A tough homestand, and a good but solid back to back in Manitoba, but still only one win in the month. How's the mood in the locker room, and what do you do to try and keep these players up when they're struggling like they are?
Yeah, there's no question the record in February definitely matches the weather we've had here in Wisconsin recently. It's very snowy and wet, so it's a challenge. The guys are very prideful and want to do well, and it's been a tough stretch for us through February. So obviously the situation, we've got to put the stoppers on it and get it going the right direction. We did, going into Manitoba, we played two good games. We did get the one win, but there were two solid efforts, and unfortunately we didn't get the second win there. But the good news is we're still in the fight. We're in the middle of the stack here in our division, and everyone's got a chance to chase it as we head down the stretch.
Coach, is one of the things that you want to do, I mean, after struggling like you did at home, sometimes the best thing is to get out on the road, just have the team together with you to be able to really kind of focus them on the ice. Is that a true statement?
I think it is. I think you get more attention, and you're with the guys, you're with your teammates, there's more events, there's more time together. As a coaching staff, you get more access to the players. During the when you're at home, there's the guys come in the morning, they're gone early afternoon. So on the road, we have access all the time. So if we need to do some extra work or some extra video, the guys are available to us a little bit longer on the road. So there is some advantages. I also think getting on the road and just having the opportunity to the old us against the world battle and the thing that we always come up with, and because you're going into these arenas that have fans and different situations, sometimes it's easier. I think the expectations of having 9 games in a row at home got to us a little bit. We felt we were going to make a great stand and really separate, and unfortunately it didn't go the way we planned. So now we have to do the same to everyone else that we're visiting.
We're on the line on Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5 The Game with the head coach of the Milwaukee Admirals, Carl Taylor, on our Down on the Farm segment brought to you by Farmers Insurance. Brent?
Hi, Carl. It's Brent Peterson. Now, I just want to know if how individual skills, like the league's such a tough league, and people don't realize how good the American League is. I think it's the second best league in the world myself. And it's just really tough to just come down there and get drafted and go down there for 1 year and then make it to the NHL. There's more than just 1 year of learning, and there's so many things to learn. Is there anything that some of your players have done that gives you really good feeling about them?
I think and you're very correct in what you're saying. It takes, everyone goes at their own pace. And the other thing is development doesn't just happen. The player needs to be an active participant in that as well. So you're absolutely correct. Some guys, it'll take a couple of years. Some guys get through it sooner. But it's also the opportunity presented as well, depending on where the NHL team is. So for us, our guys need to understand they're here for a reason, and they need to develop and focus and get their game to a level where until they're playing and being a great player at the American Hockey League level, whatever their role is going to be, they need to dominate at this level to knock on the door and force people to say, hey, we need to look at this guy. He's absolutely tearing it apart, doing what we need. And I think sometimes with the when the kids get drafted, they think, okay, I made it. And we've all seen that. So unfortunately, there's a lot of work to go into it, and the messaging has to be firm and solid so they understand where they're going. And that's where some of our assistant coaches help out quite a bit. You know, Greg Rowell is recently retired, and then Scott Ford, who's been here for a number of years. They've been through it themselves, and they understand it in their own paths and their own career. So it's a long road, and it takes a lot longer than people think to eventually get there. Making the NHL is very difficult.
Hey, Coach, Zach McCann here. One of the players that Preds fans have certainly fallen in love with lately is Rocco Grimaldi. What is it about Rocco's game that you think is so well-suited to this team?
He's a great story. You know, he was a free agent signing in the summer, and I've coached against him for a number of years because of my previous job. I was in Texas, and he was in San Antonio, so saw lots of him on the wrong side of the bench. And I was excited to have him. We had him for a short period of time. Obviously, he did very well with us. And then once he's gone to Nashville, he's been a fan favorite because, in the end, he's a smaller player who physically stays on pucks and stands over pucks, and he's relentless in how he tries to get it back when he doesn't have it. So when you have that work ethic and that energy to your game, it's very contagious to a group, and you become an engine. And every line wants to have an engine on it, and Rocco's one of those guys who can drive lines because of his effort and how hard he works and pursues the puck and is relentless in his attitude. And I think that's what's transferred to the NHL for him.
I'm wondering, I mean, obviously a lot of the discussion in Nashville right now, the trade deadline coming up on Monday, you've had a couple of additions to your team through a trade that that David Poile had made. What kind of impact does the trade deadline have at the AHL level? Is there nerves about it, or is it just kind of happens in the background?
No, there's lots of nerves for everyone, and you never know if you're adding or subtracting players, or you never know what's going to happen. And obviously, we have internet down here in Milwaukee, so everybody's online reading stuff, and so do the players, and they pretend that they don't read it, but they do, and they hear the noise. We talk to them about being able to control what they can and all the normal messaging that every coach gives the players. But in the end, it is a tough time because no one's sure what's going to happen. And there's always lots of chatter. There's probably 95% more talk than action on the deadline. But
of course,
sometimes those things get out. But for us, there's nothing we can do about it. We have our team and our players here, and the guys are committed to it. And we're excited to get back on the road and head to Cleveland on Friday and start winning some hockey games.
So, Coach, I thought you were almost at the end of the segment, and I thought you might think that you were going to get away without a question about Ellie Tolvanen, but sorry, that's not going to happen. Talk to us a little bit about Tolvanen's development and impact of his going to play in juniors, all of that. What are you seeing different about this player now than you saw back in September when you first saw him?
Well, I think he's come a long way. There's still strides to be made. We have to remember how old he is. He's a very young man.
That's true.
So he's a guy finding his way. But he, I will say this, his game away from the puck has developed all season. He's playing firmer. He is finishing his hits more defensive awareness, which he needs to add. He's expected to score and do all those other things that come natural for him. And I believe he will do those things. But we wanted to make sure we're helping him understand the critical part of playing away from the puck, becoming more of a complete player. And I think he was going in the right direction, and then the World Juniors came up, and being a Canadian, that's a massive event.
Yeah.
And, it's just a huge opportunity for him, especially when it was in Canada with the crowds and the rest of it. So, and then they went off and they won the championship, which was outstanding for him and his countrymen. Came back with a bit of an injury, so he was out for a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But after recovering from that, he's definitely a young man who's on the move and coming. He had a good stretch where he was producing for us, and we just need to keep progressing and understand it takes time, and patience is always something we tend to not have long efforts there, but it's something we need to remember that he's a young man, he's progressing right where he needs to be, he's getting better every day, and I think he's got a great future.
Yeah, I'm reminded of the old prayer, Lord, give me patience and please do it now. So, Coach, we certainly appreciate you taking the time joining us on Slapshot Radio. Good luck on the rest of the road trip. Cleveland Friday and Sunday, and then down to Texas. So you're going to go from, from lake effect snow to some nice weather, at least, hopefully, in central Texas. So enjoy the road trip. Good luck going forward, and thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you all, guys. I look forward to talking again in the future.
All righty. Head coach Carl Taylor of the Milwaukee Admirals joining us on the Down on the Farm segment brought to you by the Patrick J. Brown Agency of Farmers Insurance. We'll be right back to wrap this one up in just a few minutes right here on Slapshot Radio. Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming live on the Game Nashville app. Paul McCann, Brent Peterson, Zach McCann coming at you. One more segment here on Slapshot Radio. We're in the rocking chair of the hockey block. Penalty Box Radio coming up at 7 o'clock. 8 o'clock, excuse me. I'm an hour behind already. You turn on the mic there, Coach. Yeah. It helps.
Yeah, I want to see someone with the mic closed.
Yeah, that's good. I'm glad you did.
No, I hear that Carl's a great coach, and he's done a great job with the players down there. They just haven't had a lot of at first of the season, we called up all the guys that have been down there.
Right.
And they had nothing left, and now it's kind of late to be trading for the minor league. So any David usually goes through and gets the major league team done, and then he sort of tries to get a player or two to get this team off. They're right in the middle of the pack, Carl said. But I hear he's done a great job with them down there. He's a good man and a good coach, and we want to wish him well.
Well, and I like I like hearing the honesty coming out of him regarding Eli Tolvanen. And this is where, I look at it and go, man, he's close. But I think, obviously, again, Tolvanen's what?
19.
So, I mean,
I think if there's nothing happens in the trade deadline, he will be here next year.
I think so.
Well, it seems like if the Preds make a move, you're going to lose either Tolvanen or Fiala. Do you want to lose?
It's a tough call. I bet if you pulled 10 people, I bet there'd be 10 or 5-5 on answers like that. So I don't know.
But it is funny, and sometimes it's sometimes people look at it as the devil you know versus the one you don't.
Right.
Let's face it. You kind of know what you get with Kevin Fiala.
Yes.
You're not quite sure what you're going to get with Eli Tolvanen.
Ellie's succeeded at every class or every level he's gone to, except for this one right now.
It's true.
He's been a dominant factor in every place he's been, and now he went back to junior, and they win the whole thing in the World Junior, and now he's back. He has injuries. He just had a rough go, but we'll have to see what happens. But I think it'll be interesting to see who goes, who stays, if there's anything happens at all. So it'll be an interesting thing. But Carl's, I just wanted to mention, Carl does a great job with the players down there.
You talk to Scotty Nickel. He's thrilled with what he's done down there. So the Milwaukee Admirals still in the thick of it. But, that this is another example of a great start, which the Admirals did get off to a great start in the AHL season. But it's time to fish or cut bait at this point. It's time for this team to kind of step up, and there's a couple players down there that should be able to do that. So but I want to turn the attention back. I mean, we talked about the last couple of games. We've talked a little bit about the trade deadline. We've talked a little bit about the three games coming up, but actually there are four games before our next show. You've got Thursday night at home against LA. You've got Saturday afternoon. It's a 4:30 start.
Yeah, it's a weird one
for the Colorado game. You have a Monday night game against the Edmonton Oilers, and boy, you can certainly remember those early early week games in the early 2000s where it was
hockey
amongst a few close friends on a Tuesday night at Nashville Arena, and then the interesting piece is the back-to-back, because Tuesday night in St. Louis. I'm sorry, this is you look at the competition and you go, meh, but this is a critical stretch. And I think, Zach, you said it. Coach, you said it. It's time to beat the teams they're supposed to beat.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? The St. Louis Blues are a team you're supposed to beat, too.
Well, When
they'll be tougher to beat.
Yeah, they'll be tougher. But at the same time, you know what? I think this is a time where if you're going to be mentioned amongst the upper echelon of teams, this stretch is absolutely critical. It's time to shed this stigma that you play down to your competition. Yeah, your St. Louis game should be the hardest one, but you don't need to be looking ahead to it.
Well, and again, you know, we were talking about that, and St. Louis is a good topic to bring up because winning their 11th straight game last night, coming back in overtime after blowing a 2-0 lead, coming back and winning in overtime against the Toronto Maple Leafs of all of all teams. I think St. Louis may be there at the end. They may make the playoffs. But, Coach, we were talking before the show. I don't know about this. An 11-game win streak, and Zach, you quoted a rather interesting stat.
Yeah, I read something earlier that said the Predators last year were one of the first teams to make it out of the first round after winning a post-10-game winning streak in the past, like, 30 years or something like that, like some kind of ridiculous stat. So
if that's true, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's not like these streaks are very, very good for teams, honestly, because you want consistency in an NHL team. If you're having a terrible, you saw it a few years ago when the Hamburglar dragged the Ottawa Senators the playoffs.
Yeah.
They didn't do much either. If you're going to have those extremely hot and then super cold stretches, it doesn't bode well for consistency in the playoffs.
Yeah, the extremely hot, I don't really like. I like to, you know, win 5 and lose 1 and win 6 and lose 2. But, you know, the extremely hot teams like Buffalo, they had, what, they have 11 or 12 games?
Yeah, out of the playoffs.
No, out of the playoffs. But these games are really, they're really concerning to me, the next three at home. Because we should win them. But we haven't done well when we've said this before, when we've had L.A. and who is it, L.A., Colorado, Edmonton.
And yeah. then back-to-back back St. Louis.
I'm sure St. Louis doesn't play on Monday night, so
yeah,
they're catching us on a back-to-back. And I just think that we have to – the best teams never win. The teams that play the best always win. That's all you got to go for.
That's a good point.
The teams that – and I'll say it again, the best team never wins. The team that plays the best always wins. And we got to just start playing. We have a good enough team right now to win the Stanley Cup if everybody plays their very best.
Yep.
We have nobody playing their very best other than maybe four guys and Pekka and UC once in a while. But if you end up getting into the playoffs, you're not going to win with four people, so you might as well just go out of it right now. So it's just it's a tough situation. And like you said, you can't play down to teams. You take them 2 points at a time, and you got to get those 2 points, and you go in the next 2 points, and you get the last 2 points, and then you got 6 points all of a sudden, and the St. Louis game doesn't mean as much.
Well, judging by strength of schedule, Nashville's very middle of the pack for the rest of the year.
Well,
Winnipeg's near the hardest schedule in the league.
And we have a great schedule. We have 2 days off, 3 days off here and there, and where the guys can practice and really get their game up. So we have a very fair situation going on here.
Well, that's the upside of having other teams have games in hand on you. I mean, St. Louis has 3 games in hand. Winnipeg right now has...
We're so used to chasing at this point of the year.
So Winnipeg has 4 games in hand. And again, it's almost like, who wants the Central right now?
A little bit.
There's a little bit of that happening. And quite frankly, Winnipeg can have it. I don't mind that second.
I don't want to be second spot. I want to be second.
No, I want to be second. No question. I don't mind that second spot.
Right.
I'd take one of the wild card teams over St. Louis at this rate.
So. Well, but I also look at it depends on where, again, who are the wild card teams. If it's Minnesota or Chicago, okay. If it's Calgary...
Oh, it won't be Calgary. They're first.
Sorry. If it's if you're having to travel for it, Anaheim sneaks into that last one.
Vancouver.
Anybody
west of Mississippi River.
Yeah. Anyone further than Dallas, I'm not interested.
That's right.
Yeah. So I mean, and I think again, we cannot underestimate what travel does and when it comes to the playoffs as far as that goes.
There's so many factors, everything we talk about, so we'll just wait and see what happens.
But to your point, though, you talked about it as far as instead of long winning streaks. I can remember Barry Trotz saying this probably 12, 13 years ago. Just look at, take it in 3-game bites, get 4 out of every 6 points, and you're going to be just fine.
And we did the 1 year that we finished and finally made the playoffs.
That's right.
We were out of the playoffs with 20, 30, 30 games to go.
Yep.
And we just said, guys, every 3 games you get 2 wins or 4 points out of 6 points.
Right.
You're going to make it in. And sure enough, we made it in that year, and that's how you do it. You got to take them little by little. You can't look at the big picture yet.
Yeah. It's not time to look at that yet. But when you look at this, and the thing that really stuns me right now about this playoff race is that there is a 85% chance, and you know I love my sportclubstats.com site, but if you go to sportclubstats.com, and right now I like to look at where is the point line that gives you an 85% plus chance to make the playoffs. And right now in the Western Conference, it is at 90% chance at 88 points. There hasn't been a sub-90
That's right.
A sub-90 playoff team since this new format came in. I mean, it's kind of an indicator of how far this conference has fallen.
Well, yeah. We got six teams with 59 points in there, and looking like Chicago's going to win tonight and jump ahead of and Minnesota and be in the playoffs as of tonight.
And I think we talked about back in probably early January, we had left them for dead.
That's right.
Along with the St. Louis Blues, quite frankly. Blues,
right. And they both could make it this year.
Yep. Well, look, we're up against it. Thanks so much for joining us on Slapshot Radio. Penalty Box Radio is up next. We're back on Wednesday night at 7. Hey, two Wednesdays in a row, boys. A big thank you to our guests, Milwaukee Admirals head coach Carl Taylor and the king of hockey rumors from HockeyBuzz.com, Eklund. I'm going to thank to our sponsors, Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry and the Patrick J. Brown Agency, your farmer's agent. When you visit one of our sponsors, make sure you tell them you heard about it on Slapshot Radio and thank them for their support. For our producer, Buck, our co-hosts, Brent Peterson and Zach McCann, I'm Paul McCann saying good night and good hockey.